for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, May the 28th, 1982. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Memorial Weekend Teaching Seminar. Colonel Speed Wilson, Marine Corps retired, is the speaker of the morning, speaking on Bible numerics and 666. Portions of this tape have been copyrighted by Colonel Speed Wilson. Reproduction in part or its entirety is expressly prohibited.
This morning we'd like to, as we said we would last night, talk about Bible numerics. Now, I'm not talking about numerology. That's Satan's counterfeit. So we would know that if Satan is counterfeiting truth in the Bible, then it must be important. You know, Satan is counterfeiting all the gifts today. He has prophecy. He has healing. He put it on you. He can take it off. He can heal you. And he even counterfeits speaking in tongues and many other things. And so numerology is one of his counterfeits to keep the frightened Christian away from a truth that's hidden in the numerics of the Bible. But praise the Lord, if you're born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have a spirit of discernment. And you can listen to anything being taught, and you should be able to discern the difference between truth and error. The Bible says there is a spirit of error, and there's a spirit of truth. And as Paul tells us, we keep that as good and let that as bad go. As I think it's Ken Hagin says, you ought to be as smart as the old mule. When he's eating the hay, he eats the hay and he spits out the sticks. Mm-hmm. So you ought to spit out the sticks, but don't throw the hay out. You can go hungry. Now, in the late 1800s, there was a Dr. Ivan Panin, P-A-N-I-N. He was a Harvard scholar, had his master's degree in mathematics, and he also had a master's degree in Hebrew and Greek languages. And he was a devout atheist, a dedicated hardcore communist. And he recognized the fact that communism could not control the world until he got rid of Christianity. And he knew that the root of Christianity was the Word of God, the Bible. So he decided that he was going to prove the Bible to be a hoax. And he set out to study the Bible in its original, the Old Testament in the Hebrew and the New Testament in the Greek, because he could read and write and speak Hebrew and Greek. And as with his master's degree in mathematics, he knew that every letter in the Greek and Hebrew alphabet had a numerical equivalent. That's how they did mathematics. They didn't have what we call the Arabic numbers. They're really not Arabic. They came from India, but the Arabs get credit for originating the Arabic numerical system. So he set out and he started reading. Well, Dr. Panin hadn't read very far before he recognized that there was a mathematical pattern in the Bible, a very important pattern. So he stopped and checking it out, and he found that you could add up any sentence or any paragraph literally. That is, just to simply add up, substitute the numerical value in the Hebrew and Greek, and then added up, and he found that every paragraph, every sentence, of course, sentences making up paragraphs, when you got the sum total, it was always divisible by seven, seven being the number of perfection. He found a few that would not, and those were always divisible by 11, like 66 books in the Bible, divisible by 11. Bible scholars tell us that there are five different authors in the book of Psalms. And if you divided it by authors, you'd have actually 70 books in the Bible, which would be the perfect number multiplied by 10. And so he thought that was highly unusual. It was exciting now to find out that the Apocrypha, how many know what the Apocrypha is? A few Roman Catholics here, aren't there? Is that where you found out about the Apocrypha? Well, if you don't know what the Apocrypha is, don't worry about it. It doesn't fit the mathematical pattern. Might be good for historical reference, but it does not fit the mathematical pattern that the other 66 books do. And I don't know about some of the other books, Jasher and the others. I don't know that Dr. Panin ever checked them out. Those are books that are mentioned in the Bible by some of the authors of the Bible. And so he thought, well, maybe it's just a coincidence. So he and five of his cohorts in the Communist Party set out as their objective to write one paragraph containing no less than 100 words and make sense that would fit this mathematical pattern. They worked for at least 6 months, six men working for 6 months, and they gave up because they could not write one paragraph containing a minimum of 100 words that made sense, and yet God wrote 66 of them. It was exciting to me when Paul said, "Whether this be of the Spirit, I know not." It still fit the pattern. Isn't that great? Paul didn't know when he was in or out of the Spirit. He wasn't being led by goosebumps, praise the Lord. He was just naturally spiritual and spiritually natural. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, Dr. Pannon accepted the Lord. I don't know about his five helpers, what happened to them. And he dedicated the rest of his life to this mathematical study, and there's a group in Chicago that's continuing that works. Dr. Pannon, I believe, died in about 1952. No, he died in 1942, October of 42, devoting about 50 years to this study. Here are some of the things, and you know, you would think that if you showed this to a heathen, a doubter, that he would suddenly believe, because you can prove mathematically that the Bible is the Word of God. I found that not to be true. They'll simply shift the argument to some other outfit, and you can never pin them down. And then I realized that Jesus said no one can come to the Father except through the Son, and no one comes except the Holy Spirit drawing. So you may be involved in an exercise in futility of trying to lead someone to the Lord and force him to drink.
Right.
In fact, you may be fooling with a tear, and he's destined never to. Well, I don't want to get off on that, but I'm not putting it down. You're the witness, or you're charged to be a witness more than any other. Now, here's some interesting things that Dr. Pannon found in the Bible. That the number of words in the vocabulary are divisible by seven, and the number of words that begin with a vowel are divisible by seven, the number that begin with a consonant are divisible by seven, and the letters of the alphabet any given set of words is divisible by seven. And those words which are consonants and vowels are containing both divisible by seven, the words of the vocabulary. You can go on and on, always divisible by seven. Even the number of nouns divisible by seven, the number of proper names divisible by seven, the number of male names, the number of male female names, always divisible by seven. And the number of words even beginning with each letter of the alphabet was divisible by seven. Now that takes some doing, doesn't it? We haven't come to a computer yet that can do that. And yet God did it. And that'll be the last I'll say about Dr. Pannon, because it's an extensive study, and I only give it to show you that it is a very, very positive proof that the Bible is divinely inspired by God himself. That's what Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired or given by the Spirit of God and is good for doctrine, reproof, and correction, and to the bringing forth or preparing the man of God for all works. Now, I want to go through Bible numbers, one through wherever we end up, of what their significance is. And I want to caution you that this is by no means a complete and all-inclusive study of the Bible numerics. As we go along, I'm finding more and more revealed through Bible numerics. So it's not complete. You'll probably be seeing more and more written on this. I realized about 10 years ago when I picked up a little book about Dr. Pannon the very significance, and I accrued information on numbers over the next 10 years until finally I felt I had enough understanding to put it into the talk that you're hearing now. We'll start with number one. One is unity. One cannot be divided. There is one true God. That's John 17:3, Ephesians 4:7, 1 John 5:20, certainly many, many other scriptures. And it's the Alpha, it's the beginning. In the Hebrew language, Yahweh Elohim adds up to 111. Hallelujah. 111. One Spirit, one Holy Spirit, one Father, and one Son. 111. Yahweh Elohim in the Hebrew language equals 111. Two, you'll find some of these numbers have double meanings. Two can mean division, as Cain and Abel. or the being able to divide your spirit from your soul. They're not the same. And it also is associated with witnesses. Remember, they went out two by two, and the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. So it speaks of division, also speaks of witness. Three is the number for complete, not perfection. Some teach it's perfection. It is not. Three is complete, like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or like man, spirit, soul, and body, three parts. And the three feasts, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Time permitting, we'll go more into that. Now, four is an interesting number for those of us living at the end of an age. Four in the Bible, through association, is associated with transition, or a time of change. Transition is a better word, or change. That's also reflected in the world. You know, we have the four seasons. Summer, spring, summer, fall, wherever you want, and winter, either way, but four is a time of change, transitioning from one season to the other. And we talk about the four points of the compass, north, east, south, and west. So it's related to the world, which is important. And five, I think all of us know that five is the number for grace. The first time you see five is, David with the five stones, and he took only one to clobber Goliath. And the five ministers there's God gave for the perfecting of the saints. Some prophets, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. And it's interesting, in the grace literally means in the Bible, grace, and it's a gift, is the desire and the power to do God's will. If God gives you the desire to do something, He's going to give you the power to do it. You've heard many testimonies, I have, of people who look back on things that they did, and they don't have the power nor the faith to do that now, but God's not asking them to do that now. But when He asked them to do it, He gave them the power to do it. And five, interesting, and we'll get to this in the tabernacle, the Moses tabernacle, the outer court, each of the posts were 5 cubits high, grace, and they were spaced 5 cubits apart. So once you entered the gate, Jesus says, I am the gate. Once you entered the gate into the outer court, glory to God, you were saved by grace through faith, and that not by works, lest any man should be. Because inside, everywhere you look, there's 5 cubits high, 5 cubits apart, grace, 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 everywhere you look. It was all the way around. And 5 cubits, about 5 times 18 inches, was high enough that no one outside the outer court could see what was going on the inside. They were outside. So therefore, it's grace. 5 is grace, and it's associated with redemption also. 6 is the number of man, and a very key number in the Scripture, because man was created on the 6th day, and God gave him as a curse to labor for 6 days. And Jesus, the God-man, hung on the cross exactly 6 hours. You'll never find 6 in the Bible associated with anything other than mortal man. Of course, we come to the number 666, unredeemed man, spirit, soul, and body, 666. People are worried about the Antichrist. Well, if you're not in Christ, you are Antichrist. Right. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me, Antichrist. There are only 2 kingdoms on this world, the kingdom of the devil or the kingdom of God's beloved Son. And you're either in one or the other. There's no neutrality. As we'd say in the military, there's no DMZ in this operation. There's no demilitarized zone. You're either on your way to hell or heaven, whichever camp you happen to be in. And you make the choice as to which one. 7 is spiritual perfection. It's God's seal, we find. And if we might talk about the mark of the beast. There are 7 feasts totally. There are 3 major feasts and 4 minor feasts, making a total of 7. 3 complete, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and 2 between Passover and Pentecost, and 2 between Pentecost and Tabernacles, making the perfect number of 7. And Well, we talked about last night the Feast of Tabernacles. It's the seventh and last feast, and it's in the seventh month and lasts for 7 days. That's enough to lead us to know the perfection. And it's interesting, you can see these numbers cropping up in the Bible. I'd like to look at the two fishes and five loaves. Isn't that interesting? Two would be of witness and five would be of grace. You put the witnesses together with grace and it yields the perfect number seven, and they produce 12 baskets. God's divine order. 12 is. See how these numbers crop up in the Bible all the way through, and you wondered why those numbers were so specific all the time. Well, there's a story told in them. And 12, we haven't come to that, but 12 is God's divine order. 8 is new beginnings or resurrection. It's associated with those. For example, Genesis 7:13, there are 8 people in the ark. Noah and 7 members of his family. And, there are a lot of 8s in the Bible. 9, another interesting double meaning number. 9 is the Omega. It's the last of the pure numbers. But it means judgment for the wicked, but maturity for the righteous. Remember the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit? The 9 fruits of the Spirit? All those 9s. But it's certainly judgment for the wicked. Or wrath, if you prefer. It speaks of finality. Now we come to an interesting number that will be a shock to some. The number 10. The number 10 in the Bible is the number for tribulation, not 7. By the way, 7 could not be the number for tribulation. It's never associated with tribulation. It's associated with perfection. However, tribulation might bring you into perfection. that's not what it's about. They talk about Jacob's troubles. 7 years. Well, that's not so. You ought to read about old Jake. He had a lot more trouble in 7 years because his own brothers kicked him around for about 6 or 8 before he finally got fed up with it and left home. And then he worked 7 years for Rachel and waked up in bed and he had Leah. Slipped the wrong girl in on him. And then he had to work 7 more years before he finally got Rachel. So if you add it all up, he probably had about 21 years of trouble. So that's not 7, is it? Well, 10 is the word in the Greek is thalipsis for tribulation. It's translated about 8 different ways in the King James. By the way, if you want to read about Jacob, it's in Jeremiah. No, that's not the one. There's 10 days in the 10th month and the 10th day that Nebuchadnezzar moved against Jerusalem and destroyed it. That's in Jeremiah 52, the first 6 verses. So there's 10 and 10 again. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar moved. Also, the 10 is of law, the 10 commandments. And they're certainly a test. But the Greek word thalipsis, translated about 8 different ways in the New Testament, literally means pressure or a time of testing or a time of proving and purifying. See, we may have a wrong concept of tribulation. Has anyone here ever experienced some tribulation? Praise the Lord. It's purifying, isn't it? It's to be cherished more than gold, yea, fine gold, the testing of your faith, that you may be purified. Jesus said that John the Baptist says, he that comes after me will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and what? Fire. And fire is always purifying. It purges the dross. In fact, there's a fire going in the back room back here. We just heard about it. It's purging all of that. And it's purifying for the righteous, that is, the saints, the church, or the body. But here again, it can be wrath for the wicked. And you'll find that all the way through the Bible. And I want to give you some scriptures for the 10 so we can put to rest this 7-year tribulation thing. Genesis 16:3 says testing or 10 years. Daniel, first chapter, verses 12 and 15, repeats that the time of testing is 10. In Revelations chapter 2, verse 10, and Ezekiel 12:3. That ought to be enough to... And then ask somebody to give you a chapter and verse for 7 being tribulation and see how empty-handed they come up with it. I know where they get it. They add 3.5 and 3.5 and rinky-dink the scriptures around to get it. But you don't have to do that. The Bible will interpret itself if you're willing to do the work to find out about it. And Jesus pointed out that the law was given to test us. And if you fail in one aspect of the law, you violate it all, remember? And Paul wrote about that. 11 is an interesting number. It's incomplete. Remember, after Judas Iscariot, the 12 apostles were reduced to 11, and they had a board meeting. They called a committee meeting and picked Matthias. And that's the last time we hear about Matthias. That's the way committees usually work. But God chose another one on the way to Damascus. His name was Saul, and later to be known as Paul, and he became the 12th. And 11 is spoken to us many times in history. World War I, you know, it ended in an armistice. An armistice literally means a temporary cessation of hostilities by mutual agreement. So it was a temporary cessation. World War II actually started when World War I ended, and World War III started when World War II ended, and we're still in World War III yet. That is, Russia is. We've never even shown up on the battlefield. Somebody talks about the arm race. Well, the only one in the race has been Russia. We haven't been running. And it's getting upset that we might enter the race, so they want to negotiate again. They said that negotiation does not mean peace. It means war on a different plane. That's all. Lenin wrote that in 1917. But World War I's armistice was signed the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month, and it was exactly 11 months after the British General Allenby entered the gate of St. Stephen's in Jerusalem, a believer, and he was in the cavalry at that time. He had a white horse, but he got off the white horse and walked into Jerusalem, saying that no one will enter this city on a horse except my Lord Jesus Christ. And 11 months later, the armistice. 12 is God's divine order or divine government, such as the 12 tribes, original 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, and the New Jerusalem. You'll hear a lot of garbage about the New Jerusalem has been spotted on the telescope and it's headed for the earth and it's out there somewhere. Hogwash. Forget it. It's a typology. It's the answer to the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Did you notice the Lord didn't tell us to teach us to pray for the rapture? No, he told us to pray that the earth would become as heaven. And that's what it is. The New Jerusalem is coming down. God's divine order in every direction. It has 12 gates. And its foundation is the 12 apostles. And its wall is 144 cubits high, 12 times 12. And its dimensions is 1,200 furlongs in each direction. Every way you look at it, it's God's divine order. It's coming down to the earth. And God will reside here on earth, because the only light in the New Jerusalem is God himself. The Holy of Holies, if you please, is coming down to the earth. Hallelujah. And don't go up, because it's coming down and you'll miss it. 13. Rebellion. 13 is never used anywhere in the Bible except rebellion. The name Lucifer in the Hebrew language adds up to 13. How many colonies were there in what we call the United States that rebelled against England? Hallelujah. How many provinces in Canada? 13. I think it's really going to be interesting with all these people that think that when Greece joined the common market and made the 10th nation in the common market, completed that fulfillment. I don't know what they're going to do in 1984 when there'll probably be 13. No. If anybody would ever search that out, you would find that the 10 toes over in, the Daniel and the statue, and it was crushed by the stone and it was scattered to the winds as chaff, never to be joined again. So that shoots down the common market right off. And you find over in the book of Revelation that these 10 kings who are 10 rulers or head men who had no power of their own, but were given power by Mr. 666. Well, every one of the rulers in the common market have power of their own. They got a problem now. It doesn't work because they all want the United Nations outfit to work the way they want it to work. Did you know that the Club of Rome, which is an offshoot of the Illuminati, has divided the world into 10 areas or 10 regions? But the rulers over those 10 regions have no power of their own except what the International Money Group or the Illuminati, the Satanic 666 system, gives it. The United States has been divided into 10 regions, and the offices are already functioning in the United States. So 10, and certainly don't depend on the fundamental preacher for your new revelation. He's still teaching Schofield's footnotes, generally, which was about a 1900 revelation, a little stale. Be ye established in the present truth, and the present truth isn't going to be the same tomorrow either. 17 is God's ability to protect his elect. We pointed out last night that the rain came in the days of Noah on the 17th day of the second month on the Hebrew calendar, and the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat the 17th day of the seventh month, which made it the third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And 17 is used again, repeated sometimes in the Bible, and it's always associated with God's ability to protect his elect. 17 isn't associated with the number, but isn't it interesting that, 1 Corinthians 10:15 said everything that happened to them in the Old Testament are types and shadows and examples unto us upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And did you notice that God did not remove the Israelites from Egypt when he sent the what? 10 plagues. There is testing or tribulation. 10 plagues. And there are 10 plagues in the book of Revelation yet to come, or they may be in the process now. But he did not take the Israelites out. He didn't rapture them out. He had them in there so that the Pharaoh could see that God protected his own. They were a witness. All hell was breaking loose on the outside of Goshen, but over in Goshen everything was real fine. Hallelujah. So you will be a witness too. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he didn't rapture them out of the furnace. He joined them in the furnace. And the very fire that burned up the wicked ones set them free, burned the rope right off of their hands. And the king says, didn't we throw in three and I see four? And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. It's the fourth man that makes the difference. Hallelujah. That's quite a witness. And if you were raptured out, you wouldn't have a witness. And 20, that's 2 times 10. It's always associated with trouble or conflict. 24. Now, see, there's some gaps in here, so there's some numbers that I haven't seen any direct association. But 24 is the heavenly government order, remember, or worship. The 24 elders, Revelations chapter 4 and 5 and 11 and 19, all of those, the 24 elders worshiping, and they were in divine order, casting their crowns before the Lord. 30 is the age of maturity. In the book of Numbers, chapter 4, verse 3, the sons of Levi could minister from age 30 until age 50, a 20-year span. I don't know why they ministered so short a period of time, except it might have been pretty rough out there at the brazen altar getting those cows to lay down. You know, they didn't want to be burned much worse. I guess it was a little heavier than ministering today. But 30 and 50, 30 is the age of maturity. David became king when he was 30. Joseph ascended to power when he was 30. And the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry when he was 30, fulfilling the Levitical law of that. And 40. By the way, Israel became 30 years old the 14th of June, 1978. Became a mature nation. 40, 40, 4 times 10. Well, 10 is testing or tribulation or proving, and 4 is transition. And you'll find it's always a transitional tribulation or testing. For example, Moses was in the wilderness. Well, Moses is a little unusual. He had 3 40-year periods in his life for a total of 120, as in the upper room and so forth. So he had 40 years in Egypt as in a royal status as the Egyptians. Then he had 40 years on the backside of the desert herding sheep. And then he had 40 years in the wilderness with the rebellious Hebrews. And then he spent 40 days and 40 nights. Now, each one of those 40 years in Moses' life was a change or a transition. He was transitioning to the next step. Then he spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai and receiving the law and seeing the burning bush. And Jesus was tested by Satan 40 days and 40 nights, remember? And he was tested first in the flesh, and then in the soul, and then in the spirit. And his response was always the word of God, which Satan took out of context. So you can see the 40 They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, a transitional to destroy the wicked and to save. Isn't that interesting? Noah wasn't raptured out. It was the wicked that were destroyed. And 40 also is a generation. We gave you the scriptures on that last night, but the book of Numbers 32:13 and Psalm 95 verse 10 and Hebrews chapter 3 verses 10 and 17. Could it be the duration of this, quote, great tribulation? Not a 7-year period at all, but it could be a real testing time. Now, I want to point out something. That one on Jacob was Genesis 29, verses 16 through 30, if you're interested in going back and multiplying. See if you can determine whether it was 22 or 21 years. It certainly wasn't 7. Now, I had believed that the great tribulation spoken of by Jesus and in Daniel and the book of Revelation began no later than 1967. And the end of that tribulation period would be around the year 2007. However, the Lord said, if those days not be foreshortened, no flesh would survive, and but for the sake of the saints, those days would be decreased in number or foreshortened. Isn't that interesting? If the saints had been raptured out, what are they doing in the great tribulation? And what's the Lord doing shortening the time if they were already raptured out? So the rapture won't stand any way you want to slice it. And it is baloney, so you can slice it pretty thin. But it's still baloney. Now, the 27th, and I taught this down at Brother Gerald Erstein's Christian Retreat, both at Bradenton and also up at Strawberry Lake in Minnesota, repeatedly. And he sent me a booklet on prophecy of Revelations. The 27th of January, 1961, a Brother Lambert of Sarasota, Florida, came knocking at the door of Brother Durstein's house at Bradenton at 5 o'clock in the morning, waking up Brother Durstein. And this Brother Lambert had a real shaking experience. The Lord had appeared in his room as a bright light, and the Lord spoke to him in an audible voice, and he says, "The time of sorrows have begun. The time of sorrows have begun." Or tribulation. Well, Brother Durstein thought that was great. I do, too. Because, you see, you add 40 years to 1961, and it comes out the year 2001. Remember, we talked about that last night. So it may be significant. But Brother Durstein always, as we'd like to do, is let everything be established out of the mouths of two or three. The very next day, a man drove all the way from Orlando, Florida. And why he came to Brother Durstein doesn't know. But the Lord appeared to him and said the same thing at the same hour of the same night. And he didn't know anything about Brother Lambert. 2 months later, Brother Durstein was in Haiti, and the same thing had happened to a Haitian the same night, the same hour, and the Lord said the same thing. Well, there's three already. But he was at the regional convention in Washington, D.C. some 6 months later, and a man from Kitchener, Ontario, received the same thing the same night and the same word at the same hour. So there are four people received that the time of sorrows began in 1961. Now, you can't calculate it exactly because the Lord said those days would be foreshortened or decreased in number that the saints might survive. But the wicked would not. And we know from history that Christians will survive under circumstances where heathen will perish. 50, we all know that, is the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, Leviticus 25, verse 10 and following. Now, you see, when they entered the promised land, when they, the Hebrews, entered the promised land, they could do business as usual, 7 times 7, 49 years. There's that 7 again, 7 times 7. And by the way, they were to farm for 6 years, and then they were let the 7th year, the land was to lay fallow. Did you know those Hebrews never did that? They were rebels from the beginning. They never did let their land lay fallow. And that's right, they still are. And so, for 490 years, they were in the land, the promised land, and they never kept the Sabbath year, the 7th year. They never kept it. Well, you can calculate right quick that they missed 7 into 490. They missed 70 Sabbath years. And God said, "All right, you hard-headed stiff necks, I'll let you keep them all at once." And he set them for 70 years 70 Sabbath years in Babylon, and they kept all their Sabbaths all in one big bunch. So God's going to get his way regardless. And he called Nebuchadnezzar his servant that he would teach them a lesson, but they didn't learn. Let us learn, you know, by their mistakes. So, but the year of Jubilee, the 49th year, business as usual, but in the Jubilee year, every 50th year, all debts had to be forgiven. All the indentured slaves had to be set free. And all the land had to be returned to the original owners. Can you imagine how that would have affected the Rockefellers and Rothschilds if we did that? Time permitting, we can go back into the 1800s and find that God has forced the world to keep the Jubilee whether we liked it or not. Every 50 years, God has wiped out the wealth of the world in a worldwide depression, and we're starting one right now that will conclude around the year 2000. We're not in a recession, we're in a depression. We were in a recession from 70 to 74, and from 82 on out, the bottom is going to fall out. A lot of interesting things are going to happen. So every 50 years, God has forced us to keep the Jubilee, whether we like it or not. And we don't like it, particularly the others don't. Well, and there's some interesting others on the Jubilee if we have time. 70, 7 times 10, that would be a perfect testing, wouldn't it? Like Babylon. 70 also speaks of the 70 that Jesus sent out two by two. Remember the 70 that went out in the name of Jesus and they came back and were so amazed that even the demons were subjected to them in the name of Jesus. So 70 has a double meaning. It speaks of the Babylonian system where the central banking system started and where false religion started. If you wondered about false religion, there's an excellent book back there on the table. Mystery Religion of Babylon or Babylonian Mystery Religion. It's an excellent one, and I defy you to find a denominational church today, a denominational church now, that isn't practicing some of the Babylonian Nimrod practices. The Roman Catholic Church is just the most obvious one, but we've got a little of all of it, even to putting a phallic symbol on the top in the form of a steeple. And having Easter to the God Esther, the fertility god, and that's the reason we have Easter bunnies and eggs and a phallic symbol on the top of our churches, and all of that. It sort of makes you mad sometimes when you read those things, but thank God he's setting us free from the system, and knowledge sets you free. 80, well, you'd sort of suspect it, 8 is resurrection or new beginnings, so it always speaks of newness or being new. The elect, it's associated with the elect. Abraham, 100 years old, when he begat Isaac. That's Genesis 21:5. And Moses' tabernacle, 100 cubits long. And you find this seed and sower that brings forth 30-fold. That's being born again. Then a double portion, the 60-fold. Remember, a double portion of the Holy Spirit, 60-fold. And now we're coming into tabernacles 100-fold. So 30, 60, 100. And we've already covered 111. Yahweh Elohim in the Hebrew adds up to 111. 120, God's appointed number of people. As there were 120 priests in the temple that the Holy Spirit fell and the God came and they couldn't stand and they went outside. And then there were 120 in the upper room. And a man's normal age is 120 years. Not many of us have made that yet. But Genesis 6:3 said right after that, and he gave man's numbered years were to be 120. 200 is insufficient or inadequate. And John 6:7, it's the gospel according to John chapter 6, verse 7. 300 appears quite often in the Bible. It's the faithful remnant. There are three entrances in the tabernacle of Moses, and each one of them is 300 square cubits. There, each one is, you know, if you multiply the length times the height, that's 300 cubits, square cubits. Isn't it interesting that Noah's Ark is 300 cubits long and it's 50 cubits wide? It's a Jubilee wide, and that's Noah's Ark. It's 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, a jubilee wide, and it's 30 cubits high. It's a mature statue. It's 30. See, and those numbers appear again, as we've said, that's in Genesis 6:16, and it appears again in the Tabernacle of Moses. 355 days in a lunar year. Now, the Hebrews were on a lunar year. That's the reason you'll find in the Bible about so many days after the new moon, because every time they got a new moon, that was a new month. So they had 355 days in their year. Now, we today own a solar year or a sun year, which is 365 and one-fourth days. Now, some people have tried to use a 360-day in the Bible, and they call it the prophetic year. Well, I don't see any basis in the Scripture for that. What they've done, they've taken an average of 355 and 365 and come with 360. Gives you some interesting ones. 6,000 lunar years, beginning with Adam, would end in 1821. I don't know what happened there. 360 days in a year, 6,000 of those would be 1911. I don't know what happened there. But 6,000 solar years, beginning with Adam, would come up with the year 2001. There we are again with it. 2001 in the beginning of the seventh day, and if it began with Jesus, the beginning of the third day. 400 speaks of redemption, such as the Hebrews were in Egypt for 400 years. And then we come to that number that we're all so familiar with, 666. In a book, which we'll talk about in a minute, but anyway, you can add up the words "the natural mind" in the Greek, and it comes out 666. Or wrath of God, three letters. Wrath of God, as recorded in Colossians 3:6. Isn't that interesting? 3:6 adds up to 666. And there is a man whose name will add up to 666, and he's alive today and very powerful throughout the world, and it's not Anwar Sadat. Like Gordon Lindsay said, every time he found the Antichrist, somebody shot him. And it always upset his books. Well, he's around. And if we have time this morning, we'll talk about him and show you how his name adds up. His name will add up three ways in English with no hanky-panky, and it'll also add up in Greek with no hanky-panky. And he's fulfilled every scripture except heading up the one world government, which he'll do about 1984. I believe he will become Secretary General of the United Nations about that time. Maybe not. Maybe he's already done all he's supposed to do. And maybe we're just misunderstanding Scripture. 666. Isn't it interesting? Everybody's interested about the mark of the beast. In fact, we've been so busy looking for the Antichrist, we might have missed Christ. But did you ever think that in the Greek alphabet, the letter S, or as it's called, stigma, is equal to 6? Social Security System. SSS, or 666. And that is your number, and it is the mark that will be required. 666. In Canada, it's their social insurance number. Abbreviated, it's their SIN number. It's their SIN number. I think God has a sense of humor. But the number 666 contains a lot of revelation, and we may get a chance to talk about it. 700. Seven perfection. Multiplied by 100, the church, those two words, the church and the Greek, add up to 700. Beautiful. The number 777, perfection, spirit, soul, and body. The word for Jesus in the Hebrew adds up to 777. Just the exact opposite of 666. The single word cross in the Greek adds up to 777. The three words, love of God, in the Greek, as written in Romans 8:39, adds up to 777. Their perfect love, the love of God. 800 relates to faith, and that would be understandable. 8 is new beginnings and resurrections. Impossible to please God without faith. And the type as the mustard seed, it's not as little as a mustard seed, we miss the whole point. It's the growing faith. It becomes a tree that's so big that all the birds can live in it. Not the faith that's in a cotton-picking little seed. It's the faith that grows. So it's growing. Faith is growing. And there it's about 100-fold over. New beginnings and resurrection times 100, 8. And then the number 888, the word for Jesus in the Greek, adds up to 888. Hallelujah. New beginnings, spirit, soul, and body. Adam was the first, he was a soulish man, but Jesus, the second Adam, is a spiritual man. And he is producing after his own likeness. He is the first of many brethren. And again, it's the opposite of 666. Here we come to 999. Remember, it's maturity for the righteous, but Balmsville for the wicked. 999, God's wrath and man's wickedness. The two words, my wrath, as recorded in Hebrews 3:11, equals 999. Remember Sodom of Sodom and Gomorrah? The word Sodom has the numerical total of 999, and God's wrath was poured out upon it. Then we come to the number 1,000, which we call millennium. Now, you have to watch that number. It only appears in Revelation chapter 20, nowhere else in the Bible. So it's a pretty shaky thing to... You don't have a second witness anywhere in the Bible about 1,000 years, letting everything be established out of the mouths of two or three. But be that as it may, it appears 6 times in Revelation 20. That's a clue, isn't it? 6, the number of man. It may... But a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. 2 Peter 3:8 and Psalm 90 verse 4 says that. We have a problem with the year 1,000 because in the Greek and in the Hebrew and in the ancient languages and the numerical systems, even in the Japanese, I guess I saw it first in Japan before I saw it in the Bible, but in the ancient societies, 1,000 could mean an infinitely large number. That was just as big as they got. Because in Kyoto, Japan, they knew there were about 1,000 gods, the heathen did, so they built a statue to each of those gods, and then they had to happen to think, well, maybe we left somebody out, so they added another one. So they got 1,001, all surrounding Buddha sitting there looking into the crystal ball called his belly button. Somebody said he's mechanically inclined. He's studying the machine man. But maybe be, but... not much meditation value in that. And so 1,000 may be an infinitely large number. It may not be a specific number at all. May not be. We don't know yet. But we don't have long to find out. It won't be long before we find out. But we'll continue to treat it as a specific number. 2,000 turns out to be a biblical age, such as 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. That would be 2 days. As a day is as 1,000 years. And then it was 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus. That would be a total of 4 days. Then it was 2,000 years from Jesus to what we call the millennium, making a total of 6 days from Adam. So there we get the millennium being the 7th day, and we talked about that last night. And if you begin with Jesus, then 2,000 years or 2 days are just about gone. So the millennium also becomes the 3rd day, 7 being perfection and 3 complete. Jesus said it is finished. 7,000 is a biblical week to bring to perfection of God's creation. We find that. 8,000, I don't find a number for that. However, we do know that the Feast of Tabernacles, they said you will keep the feast for 7 days. So the Feast of Tabernacles is 7 days. And on the 8th day after the Feast of Tabernacles, ye shall call a holy convocation, an ingathering, a bringing together to be one. Now, the 8th day, if you go beyond the 7,000 and we come into 8,000, that could be forever and ever. The holy ingathering, the resurrection, the white throne judgment, and Jesus. You have to remember now that the saints rule with the Holy Spirit for 1,000 years. Jesus rules and reigns forever. Don't get that mixed up. The saints for 1,000 years while Satan is bound, but Jesus rules and reigns forever, and the forever may begin after the millennium. That would be the 8th day when he gathers his elect all together, a holy convocation. Now then, if you lay the 8 down on its side, how many people have studied mathematics to know that an 8 laying on its side means forever and ever? Infinity. It's so big you don't know what it is. You know, like the two parallel lines, they meet out there in infinity. And you believe that, well, you can understand space. But, you know, can you fathom a space with an end to it, or can you imagine a space without an end? No, you can't. So that's one of the problems of a mind. We can't even comprehend God. If I could ever understand God and get into my pea brain, then I wouldn't be able to worship him, would you? Some people said, well, I don't understand God. Well, the Bible said you wouldn't. And you don't have to. It's by faith. Then we come to the Jehovah's Witnesses, the 144,000. No. I don't know what they ever did with that after they passed 1 million members. Some of them obviously weren't going to make it. No, there again, we got a little problem. In the original Greek text, and there are two different texts on this specific one. The oldest text says they were thousands of the 144. Thousands of the 144. What's 144? Well, it's the height of the wall, cubits in the New Jerusalem, but it's also 12 times 12. Hallelujah. God's divine order multiplied by God's divine order. And 144,000 is just multitudes upon multitudes. You can read that in Revelation. They were the overcomers. They were on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is a spiritual condition. Mount Sinai is where we got Pentecost. Mount Zion is where we're transformed and transfigured, become overcomers. It's great out here in the wilderness at Sinai, but believe me, it's a lot better over in the Promised Land at Mount Zion. And there they stood, the 144,000. They had to be of God's because they were beating on the harps of God. They were... And worshiping God. Well, that was Penny, the piano. She was among that 144,000, and they're the overcomers. Another Greek text says the 144,000s, plural. But I think it's more accurate would be to translate it thousands of the 144. Now then, let's look at some numbers. 1 through 9, the pure numbers. 1, the number 1, there's only one true God. And it relates to all numbers, 1 through 9. They're all divisible by 1. Number 2, remember, witness or division? But it's only related to 4, transition. Well, that'd be good, because the witnesses and the division occurs. Did you know division's not all that bad? Jesus said he came to divide the sheep from the goats. And even what he said, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And most of them bugged out right then. Every time he revealed a new truth, about half of them left. When you got saved, most of your friends forsaken you, didn't they? Somebody's worried about having to get a new thread of friends. You don't have to worry about it. They'll drop you like a hot potato. You'll just naturally find a new thread of friends. You don't have to worry about dropping them. They'll drop you. Then when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, well, praise God, you got a much smaller group then. Now, you go around talking about becoming eventually a manifested son of God and see how many of your Pentecostal friends will say, boy, he's real nuts. Hallelujah. So it's getting down. It's getting down. It's dividing. So don't be upset. They say the speaking in tongues is divisive. Well, glory to God, you bet it is. God said he was just coming for a few. You know, the big road is pretty wide. The other one's a little more narrow. And it's getting narrower all the way. Hallelujah. By the way, the holy place of the tabernacle of Moses, if you take its volume, it's 2,000 cubed cubits, as 2,000 years being a biblical age. And if the Holy of Holies is half that size, then it's only 1,000, speaking of the millennium. See, there it is again. Only about half of those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit will accept the fact that their body can be glorified, or they can become the manifested sons of God. So there are all those. So 2 is related to transition, you know, division and witness. And so we're in a transition. And it's also related to 6, which is the number of man. Well, glory to God, that's what it's all about, the witness and the dividing of men. And it's also related to 8. It's divisible by 2. It's new beginnings and resurrection. See how these numbers relate. Then we come to the number 3. Well, it's complete. And you could have almost guessed that it only relates to man, 6, divisible, and it only relates to 9, grace or judgment. So it's pretty good, isn't it? That 3 relates to those 2. Then you come to 4, and it's transition, and it only relates to number 8, beginnings and resurrection. 8 is divisible by 4, yielding 2, witness and division again. Grace isn't related to any of them. You're saved by faith through grace. It's the grace of God. The only number that five is related to is one, which they all are. God, it's the grace of God where you're saved. Six is man, and we've already pointed out that it's related to two. Seven, it's not related to any except God again. Perfection. God will bring you into perfection. May your spirit and your soul and your body be kept blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is faithful to do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And new beginnings is eight, new beginnings and resurrection. And nine, we've already covered, is grace and judgment. There are many, many significant things. I just want to quickly touch on June the 7th, 1967. That is really loaded as a significant year in Bible numerics. You see, it was the sixth month and the seventh day, 6-7, and it was in the 67th year. God said twice that it was a time that man, 6, would begin the process of perfection, 7. So it's repeated twice. So that's the reason I had picked 67 as the beginning of a generation that would see the perfection of the first fruits. Now, there's an interesting or wonderful book. At least I find it most interesting, Theomatics by Jerry Lucas and Dale Washburn, published by Stein and Day. It's available now in the paperback. This book could never have been produced except in the age of computers. And they put the scriptures in the New Testament, the Greek, into the scriptures and their numerical value. And then they started running out computer-wise. And here are a few of the things they found to show you the revelation that things can be confirmed by the computer. See, the computer has no doctrine, so it isn't going to get confused by that sort of thing. You'd have to feed it doctrine, and then you got a sick computer. The word religion in the Greek and the word Satan have the exact same theomatic. Theo means God, matic means numeric. The same theomatic. Isn't that interesting? Satan loves religion. And the religion and Satan have the same numerical value. See, Christianity is not religion. Senator Harold Hughes says Christianity is a relationship with Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is not a religion, it's a relationship. He said it's too bad our denominational churches have made it a religion, but God never intended it so. What is it in Timothy? Says those who have the ritual or the form of righteousness, but denying the power of God. And what do you do? From such turn away. See, if you get involved in ritual, then you think you got it so that you'll never get it. Keep you involved in all of that. The word Adam comes out to the total of 46, both in the Greek and Hebrew. Isn't that unique? And in the Greek, the word man comes out to 276, which is 46 multiplied by 6. 6 is the number of man. And you could, there are many, many other things. Let's see a few others that are most...
This concludes tape 1 of 2 tapes of this study. For the balance of this study, please play tape 2. Reproduction of this tape in part or its entirety is expressly prohibited, as portions of this tape have been copyrighted by Colonel Speed Wilson.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.